Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Jeff, and welcome back to another episode of Leanin' with Jeff. I hope everyone is having a wonderful, wonderful afternoon. Just like yesterday and the day before yesterday, the weather is absolutely beautiful. However, it's not as warm as you would think it is, so cozy up, everyone. Get your coats and go outside and enjoy the weather. We are officially in week 10, I believe, of our semester, which means we only have a couple more weeks left. And I'm sure that midterms are finishing up and finals are kicking in. So I hope everyone is having the time to study and get ready for all those big, big exams before the summer starts. All right, so for today's episode, I will be doing a rom-com review. For those of you who are excited for this episode, please be, because I have not done a lot of rom-com reviews lately, and tough to say that there has not been as many guests as I would like to. It is definitely a very, very busy time of the year for many, many students as well, so we'll hold off on those guests for a bit, and once the busy times kind of die down a little bit, we'll bring in some more guests and discuss some things. For those of you who are listening to this online right now, live, and you would like to hop on a conversation with me and discuss the rom-com that I will be discussing today, you can feel free to punch in the numbers 604-822-2487. And you will be having a conversation with me. All right, just a quick update. The AGM meeting, we have finished very successfully. There has been some exciting news. We have a new president, a new vice president, and this year we have a business manager. So if you are excited and curious of who they are, you can always come down to the station and check out, you know, who the lucky people are. All right, so before we get started, I will put on some ads, some PSAs, and some show promos. Once we get through that, I will do a quick overview of what we'll be discussing today, and then we will end off with a song, a Canadian singer-songwriter, and a very, very great song, actually. And then we will end the episode off like so for today. For those of you who have just joined in, my name is Jeff, and here are the ads, PSAs, and show promo for today. So I hope you guys enjoy. I will see you all in a bit, and here we go.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. Nisiyam, Nisiyaya, Thikum Queen Ansep, Hydra Siyam, Nisiyam, Nisiyaya,
Anthasyakhuya, Talitin, Homusqueam, Asteo. Good morning, this is Randy Pion on KRES Radio. It's a good day to be Indigenous.
Hey, Victor! Hey, Victor!
Hey, Victor!
Hey, Victor!
Hey, Victor! Victor's mom makes the best fry bread in the whole world. It's so good they use it for communion back home.
Hey, Victor, did you hear that Unseated Airways is watching smoke signals?
Mark your calendars for Wednesday, March 20th.
I mean, every Indian in the world was there.
Whenever the ancestors say so. So about 6:30 Munyan time.
At CITR 101.9 FM's movie night, you'll be provided with refreshments that are passed down from generation to generation.
An icon from res to res.
I was told it was risen from the dead.
A staple at feasts across all of Turtle Island.
A pairing made by the creator.
Fry bread and Pepsi.
Check our Instagram at Unseated Airwaves for the poster. Hi, hi.
I think it's a fine example of the oral tradition.
Moon River, the collaborative new project from members of the Juno-nominated Indie Folk Mainstays, The Wooden Sky and Linda Ortega, Kathleen Edwards, and Corb Lund's bands, could easily be described as a supergroup of sorts. Not just because of their collective talents, but because the music on their debut album, Volume 1, is simply super. Their knack for creating sonic worlds that are at once lightly trippy and wholly inviting means that as much as they draw on inspirations from decades past, they maintain a pleasing, distinctly out-of-time feel. Described as Buddy Holly meets krautrock, it's something that you need to hear to fully comprehend, and Vancouverites will have the chance on April 5th at Green Autobody at 1822 Pandora Street, alongside Brandon Wolf Scott and Jody Glenham. Advance tickets are on sale now via Eventbrite for $22.63. So get yours now and mark your calendar to see Moon River live on Friday, April 5th.
At 11 a.m. every Wednesday, tune in to CITR 101.9 FM for Radio Arts by Danny Gall, a series featuring artworks made especially for radio broadcast, presented by the Belkin Gallery at UBC and the Polygon Gallery at the Lonsdale Quay, in tandem with two exhibitions of major works by the artist. Composed of a vast archive of sound documents, these broadcasts invite us as embodied listeners to consider the relationship of political events to acoustic events. They can be understood as both historical documents and musical compositions in the tradition of music concrete. As the transmission unfolds, we hear a full spectrum of Gall's approach to making art for radio. From selected episodes of Different Time, Different Pitch, Different Place, commissioned by Documenta 14 in 2017, to the two-part radio play entitled Vertiginous, commissioned in 2023 for the podcast series Uncertain Groundlessness, Navigating Dizziness Together.
Is your mom obsessed with Vicks Vapor Rub?
So is ours!
Are you too obsessed with Vicks Vapor Rub?
So are we!
Tune in to Viva Poru, el ungüento para el alma, every other Thursday at 4 p.m. here at CITR 101.9 FM.
A radio show dedicated to Latin awesomeness and culture. Hosted by yours truly, the one and only
DJ Bruja. And the other one and only
DJ D-Rod.
Featuring music genres like
salsa, sabrosura vintage, boleros, bossa, Latin indie, plus so much more.
Sales de tu piel y te aceleras con la despedida. Disclaimer, Viva Peru, el invento para el alma, contains a high amount of llama content. DJ D-Rod and DJ Bruja are not responsible for a newly found llama obsession.
All right, everyone. My name is Jeff, and we are back. This is Lean In with Jeff, and I hope you guys are tuning in at this time. And if you're not, tune in. You will have a very nice conversation with me. All right, so without further ado, I will explain today's episode, how it's going to go, and get right into the meat and potatoes of the show. For today, we are back with rom-coms. Today, the rom-com that I will be doing a deep analysis on is called The F Word. The F Word is a rom-com starring Daniel Radcliffe and Zoe Kazan. And this is actually one of my favorite rom-coms because it does follow the friends to lovers trope. And I think friends to lovers is a great trope. When Harry Met Sally is my favorite rom-com, and that kind of follows in to both the friends to lovers but also enemies to lovers trope. And I think those two tropes are probably the most popular tropes that many people love to watch, and it's pretty interesting too. And I'd say out of all the tropes that are there in rom-coms, it probably is a very, very relatable trope as well, and a very possible one. So it kind of gives the hopeless romantic some hope. All right, so as I will be doing a deep analysis on the movie, I will kind of touch into the characters individually, how they portray themselves, what kinds of developments that they go through, and in what sense does the romance and love blossom between their relationship. And as we kind of do a dissection of these aspects, that will be the wrap-up of today's review. And then I will have two songs that I would love to introduce for you guys. One from a Canadian singer-songwriter that you guys most likely know who he is, because I have interviewed him and also turned a couple of his songs on my show. And then one country song that I actually really like to listen to from an American singer-songwriter. So why don't we get into the review and begin the show? So, movie review on The F Word. This is a movie that was released by Michael Dowse, and it was released in 2013. And it is about two young adults who develop a close friendship, and they later blossom that friendship into a romantic relationship. However, just like all friendship to lovers stories, there is a lot of heat. There's a lot of tension between the process in which they end up together in. So the F word delves into the complexities of relationships in terms of friendship to love. And it kind of portrays so many blurry lines that are created between Wallace, who is the male protagonist of the story, and Chantry, who is the female protagonist of the story, and those two become lovers. So the film explores whether if it's possible for a man and a woman to be just pure friends instead of it blossoming to a romantic relationship. Now, obviously, it is definitely possible, for in this case, I just think that it's not possible because Wallace and Chantry's chemistry was just too good. They seemed like soulmates together, I think, when I was watching them. The interest that they had, the conversation flow. And I think one more aspect that plays a huge, huge role into the success of their relationship was their life schedule. Chantry at the time had a boyfriend and she was not available. And she and Wallace were completely, both of them mutually agreed and were completely okay with developing a friendship together. However, in Chantry's side, her and her boyfriend were not on the best of terms in the sense of the way that they lived their lives, the schedule of their lives, the timing. And so Chantry, as you can kind of move into the movie a bit farther and farther, the distance that Chantry and her boyfriend Ben is developing is very, very evident and very, very visually explicit. And so Wallace, who is a very, very nice dude, does not play the bad boy and kind of interfere with the relationship, at least in the majority of the time. Instead, he actually does develop a pure friendship with Chantry, and there's no complications whatsoever that he or she does to destroy or in any way interrupt the dynamic of their relationship. Now, the film offers a very nuanced character development, particularly for Wallace and Chantry. Wallace, who Daniel Radcliffe plays, absolutely phenomenal actor. I think he's very talented and very, very pleasing to watch. He is actually depicted as a witty yet emotionally guarded individual who is still recovering from a previous failed relationship. Wallace is actually, you know, in a way, not available. And so he does actually genuinely try to develop a true friendship between Chantry, because, as mentioned, he does not kind of desire or need the affection or the love aspect of someone, because he was hurt by his previous relationship, which was pretty bad. And this kind of hurt or this kind of experience that he kind of goes into is almost tied deeply into his childhood. And so he is not, obviously he's not happy with the result, but he has this extra cover-up of what kind of happened to his relationship, and then that kind of sets out the boundary of, you know, what he wants in a relationship and, you know, what he's kind of looking for. And so, as I mentioned, he's not available at all and for any reason or for anything at all. So he starts to develop this relationship with Chantry. And obviously, he doesn't try to interfere or even try to do anything with her because, like I said, he's hurt. You know, he doesn't really have the emotional relaxation, I guess you can say, that can kind of help him accept a new person. And so he's very guarded, very, very kind of almost closed off in a way. He's not looking for anything else. He's just kind of moving on, almost becoming like a hopeless romantic. And so throughout the film, he undergoes a lot of personal growth as he navigates his feelings for Chantry and confronts his fear of opening up to love again. So that is a very, very crucial character shift in the very beginning, where Chantry and Wallace begin their journey to love. It is very evident that he is not interested, nor is he trying to make an attempt on Chantry to win her over. Yet he's just kind of, you know, he's enjoying her company, He met her at a bar. Obviously, she did catch his eye. But as soon as Chantry said that she had a boyfriend, Wallace was just like, you know what? That's fine. You know, then they begin to develop this relationship. You know, they go out for drinks and they party and, you know, they dump all their traumas on each other and they kind of have this very, very genuine friendship. Chantry, on the other hand, who was played by Zoe Kazan, and again, a phenomenal actress, is portrayed as a very intelligent, very independent, and in a committed relationship. The relationship that Chantry was in with Ben was very committed. They have been together for years, and oh, it seems like we're getting a call. Wow, okay, here we go. Hello?
Hey, is Sahil there, please?
Hello?
Hey, man.
Hi. How are you?
Good. Yourself?
Good. Great. Are you here to discuss anything about the movie or...
What movie?
Oh, so today I am actually doing a movie review of The F Word. So...
What the F? I think I called the wrong number.
Oh, okay. Oh, you're actually on air live at CITR and 101.9 FM.
That's funny.
No, no. If you have some time, do you want to do like a quick introduction? How did you even get this number?
Have a good day, guys.
Okay, awesome. All right. It seems like that was a missed call from someone. Yeah, I mean, it seems like he didn't want to have a conversation, which is totally fine. All right, so moving on to a continuous section of the movie review. Chantry, very independent, very committed relationship. And however, she is not completed as a person. And what I mean by that is even though she's in a committed relationship, it doesn't seem like she's kind of fulfilled everything that she wants to fulfill. It always seems like during the film, she has some sort of void within her. And so it's clearly not being filled up by Ben because he's a very, very busy individual. There is a lot of overlap, I'd say, within their relationship and Ben's work life. And so the clashing between those two characters kind of begin, and that's when the issues kind of blossom. In the beginning, Ben and Chantry, they seem very, very solid. Their relationship is solid. They've been together for years. Ben has a stable career. He later gets a promotion. And Chantry, stable career. She is also offered a promotion as well. The promotion part is a very crucial part of the movie because it can almost be seen as kind of the last final straw of Chantry and Ben's relationship. Ben gets a promotion and he ends up going to Dublin. Very, very long distance relationship at a time where Chantry kind of, you know, needed him, you know, and a time where she wasn't really open to a long distance relationship. However, she never wanted to interrupt Ben's career because she loved him very, very much. And so Ben goes off to Dublin and the long distance relationship starts. That's when Chantry kind of, you know, spends more time with Wallace and the friendship grows and grows. Now, I'm sure that that played a role in their relationship blossoming. However, I do feel like Wallace and Chantry are more right for each other. Because there are scenes where Ben and Chantry are kind of having a conversation. And obviously, Ben invites Chantry to Dublin and they kind of go into a bar and meet some of Ben's colleagues. And the discussions or the conversations that are conversed within one another are not great at all. You know, the flow is just not there. The chemistry is not there. However, there's a campfire scene where Wallace, Chantry, Chantry's cousin, and Chantry's cousin's partner kind of, you know, talk about how the name Whip, Cool Whip, was brainstormed 10,000 times, and they start brainstorming, you know, however many ideas they can come up with to rename Cool Whip. And so Chantry kind of spends more time with Wallace, and their relationship grows. But alongside that, Chantry and Ben's relationship kind of go a little downwards from there. The F word, wow, it sounds very weird because that's the movie name, but subverts a traditional romantic comedy trope because it presents a more realistic and relatable portrayal of love and relationships. As I mentioned, friends to lovers is a very, very common, I'd say, trope, but also, you know, in real life, I've seen a lot of friends develop into romantic partners. And obviously, long distance relationships I have seen don't work as well sometimes because the intimacy is just not there with that romantic relationship. And I personally think that, you know, you would have to put in a little more extra work to make that relationship survive, because long term, you can't see each other, you know, as often as you'd like. And there can be a lot of complications that arise from that. And so as we kind of dig deeper into the non-traditional aspect of this rom-com, unlike typical rom-coms that we all see, the main focus for this rom-com is the importance of friendship, communication, and personal growth in romantic relationships. The characters grapple with the uncertainties and the insecurities and the fear of rejection, resulting in more of an authentic and emotionally resonant narrative. And so you can see very clearly that even though that Chantry and Wallace are in a friendship, they kind of move a little bit into a relationship vibe along the lines of their dialogue, even, and their actions, and even through their eyes, you know, the way that they look at each other. And so they develop more of a communication growth. And then, as I mentioned, there's a scene where they go out and party and they drink and they pour out the insecurities and the traumas of each other, and they really dig deep into each other's characters and they expose it to each other. And as that happens, that's when their characters kind of grow in a stronger foundation. And so, as you guys can kind of tell, the central themes of the film is timing and circumstance. As I mentioned, the word promotion carries a dual meaning, because promotion is obviously great. You know, it's a step up into one's career, a step up to a quality of one's life, maybe an opportunity for another element of happiness in life. However, in this circumstance, promotion can also be a very dangerous element, where an existing relationship can be affected by this promotion. You know, the distance that is created physically can also be created emotionally within the relationship of Chantry and Ben, which, as a result, does happen. So Wallace and Chantry's burgeoning romance is complicated by the fact that Chantry is in a committed relationship with her longtime boyfriend, Ben. The film explores the elements of timing and how the influence of timing can factor into the trajectory of the relationship, which raises the questions of fate, destiny, and the role of choice in matters of the heart. So destiny, I think, plays a great role in the movie as well. You know, if Ben and Chantry was really meant for each other, would the relationship have come down when, you know, they got the promotion? You know, and later on, you can kind of see that, as I mentioned, the chemistry was just not there with them. The way that they treated their relationship, the way that Ben treated, you know, his relationship with Chantry, I wouldn't say it was bad, but it was different. It didn't seem like Shantri was open to that sort of relationship. And you can kind of see that the confusion that is colliding within the relationship, it really does take a toll on the broken nature of how it results in. So at its core, the film, The F Word, explores the theme of risk and vulnerability in the relationships. Wallace and Shantri must confront their fears and insecurities as they navigate the uncertain terrain of love and romance. The film emphasizes on the importance of taking chances, you know. And by taking chances, they have to be honest and they have to acknowledge the risks that come with it. And the phrase of you cannot have both really, really does resonate. Because if you want something, there is probably a price, and that price is that you can't have the other. And that risk of believing that what you want is going to be far more valuable and far more important than the thing that you probably don't want, you know, something that you don't want to lose. And so this constant struggle of, you know, being honest with yourself, taking that step, really, really gives the film an interesting taste, an interesting flow throughout the movie. So the soundtrack, you know, is great. I personally don't listen too much within the soundtrack of the movies. I focus on the dialogue and the tone. But you know what? I think it was great. The music enhances the key emotional moments and the high tensions and underscores the character's inner turmoil and longing. In particular, I keep referring to the bar scene, but the bar scene really is an interesting scene. It kind of has this weird meaning where the environment and the activity that is involved within that scene is so low stakes and so just pure fun and an opportunity to forget about everything. But on the other hand, the dialogue that they share, the storyline, the context of what they're saying is far more deep and, you know, intimate, which makes this scene so interesting because it explains that the environment, the setting doesn't really matter. You know, if the chemistry is there, it will blossom, whether it's, you know, in a setting that where you just kind of have to act a certain way. So I think that was a very, very interesting choice that the film chose to do. All right, so that was kind of a analysis of the storyline, a little bit about the characters, and how the setting influenced it, the themes and all that. Before we kind of get into the characters, I want to turn on my songs. But before I do that, I know my grandmother is listening to me right now. So I want to say hello, grandmother. I hope you're doing well. It is very, very early in the morning, but thank you for watching or listening to my show. I hope that your day goes well. I will continue on doing my show, so please listen. And once you're done my show, I hope your breakfast is very, very delicious. So, hello, Grandma. This is a song by Jeremy Albino called Across the Hall. Very great song. So I hope you guys enjoy this song as much as I did. So here we go.
On different street, living side by side, the lonely times have not been kind. Kept apart by concrete walls, your voice comes floating down the hall. Sing to me, dream, do-si-do, a song that I have come to know. As I lay here all alone, it's you that helps me stay afloat. So sing to me, dream, I don't know. it's okay. I heard you singing every night. I knew those words, they held me tight. Days gone by and it's been too quiet. So come on back to me tonight. It's okay. So sing to me, Jane. Okay.
All right, everyone, that was Across the Hall by Jeremy Albino. The next song that I have for you guys is called The Painter by Cody Johnson. I hope you guys enjoy this song, and I'll see you guys soon. So here we go.
Talks about the future like she's flipping through a magazine. Finds the beauty in the thrown away and broken things. Gets excited about all my crazy dreams. Got every sunset that she's ever seen memorized. Saves him away for a rainy day or stormy night. Sky's brighter looking at it through her eyes. I don't remember life before she came into the picture. Brought the beauty I was missing with her. Showed me colors I ain't never seen. She took chances with every walk built, she saw canvas. I thank God every day for how he made her. My life was black and white, but she's the painter. She reminds me that it ain't too late to start again. Fine is good, but you need some blue every now and then. How'd I live so long without her? I don't remember life before she came into the picture. Brought the beauty I was missing with her. Showed me colors I ain't never seen. She took chances with every wall I built. She saw canvas. I thank God every day for how he made her. My life was black and white, but she's the painter. I
That was The Painter by Cody Johnson. I hope you guys love those songs. I like those songs. So why don't we go to the second part of our show? For the last couple of minutes, I will be diving deep into the characters of Chantry and Wallace and how they kind of came about in the movie, what characters that they had, and really how did they change and go through character development. And so while I do that, we will kind of go into a kind of deep dive into, you know, the real reason why their relationship blossomed. So Wallace, as you guys kind of know, he does have that nice guy image within his character. You know, he's very nice. He's very smart too, but he does not have a stable career, nor is he in school. You know, he's kind of in this mixy, you know, kind of messy situation where he dropped out of medical school because he found out that his girlfriend was cheating. And, you know, apparently she was in medical school too. And, you know, he's kind of in this life where he's scared to take risks again. He's kind of lost in a sense. And, you know, he's trying to get back up. But as I mentioned, he's in this hopeless state. So Wallace appears kind of content with his life. You know, he's working a job he finds unfulfilling, but at least it's a job, you know, so. When I say that he's not stable, I mean, he's just not in the right mind, you know, or the right kind of state in his life where he should be fulfilled and excited and happy about his choices. He's more so kind of going into that safe ride, you know, doing what he kind of has to be doing, but not really what he wants to be doing. And so he kind of has his laid back exterior where he lies and just, you know, deals with what he has to deal with. So Wallace's defining characteristics is his genuine kindness and empathy towards others. He's very, very kind to not only Chantry, but also to everyone else around him, his cousin and all. And so we get through that. But before we kind of move in deeper, why don't we take a quick 30-second break on Radio DJ, because Radio DJ is a very, very wonderful site where we kind of have all these pre-recorded shows, and I think it's sometimes it's great to share what is on. So why don't we take a little 30-second break, and I'll come back right to you guys. All right, we are back. So moving on to Wallace's character, he's very kind. He's quick-witted and charming, and he's very, very, very humorous, which really gets it with Chantry. You know, his humor is very, very well aligned with Chantry. You can kind of see that as they kind of do that bantering between two characters, which is a great characteristics for kind of foreshadowing the success rate of the relationship. And so, but as I mentioned, he does go through, or he went through, a relationship trauma. And so that kind of breaks, you know, his risk-taking ability, you know, his faith within love. And so throughout the film, he kind of undergoes this personal growth where unintentionally, he develops these relationships or this friendship with Chantry, and he begins to think, you know what, like, I think I should take the chance again. And he takes agency within his own life. And even though, despite the insecurities that he has, that something might fail, it's almost like he acknowledges that, you know what, everything that I take a risk on does have the potential to fail. But what's life without taking those risks and either getting hurt or finding happiness? So he goes ahead, takes the risk, and that really climactic moment of the risk that he takes is when he goes to Dublin. He goes to Dublin and he takes that risk to tell Chantry, despite Chantry being with Ben at the time, to tell Chantry how he feels about her. But turns out Chantry kind of feels the same way. However, moving on to Chantry's character, she almost doesn't want to let go of both, I'd say, and she's kind of scared to admit that she has feelings for Wallace because she is in a committed relationship with Ben. So the committed relationship with Ben really, really messes with her because her heart's telling her to go one way, but her mind is kind of telling her to go the other. And so despite her outward confidence that she portrays within herself, Chantry struggles with the feel of failure, you know, and self-doubt, particularly not only kind of in her relationship, but also in her job as well, you know, because I do feel like, because she did get a promotion, I do feel like she was almost structuring her life within the barriers of Ben and her relationship and not really focusing on her as an individual and what she wants. Because the promotion that she was offered was very, very huge, but again, it required to go abroad. And so through the friendship of Chantry with Wallace, Chantry learns to embrace the unpredictability of life and starts to learn to take the risks of taking pursuit of happiness and choosing the decisions that just are for her. And so these flaws that the characters kind of portray within each other really blocks all those insecure and the short-thoughted decisions that they have and really just have them speak their minds, speak their thoughts, and go through the relationship through that. And so, as I mentioned, the climactic moment is when Wallace confesses his feelings. Chantry initially rejects it, but she later realizes that she was lying to herself and she just no longer wanted to do that. So she becomes not only true to Wallace, but true to herself. And so that is a very, very big character development within her part, because in order to grow, you need to know who you are before you even want to know who someone else is. And so I guess that's a great note to end off the show here. I hope you guys had a wonderful time listening to the show. It is very, very beautiful outside. So I hope you guys get a chance to get some sun inside yourself, get that vitamin. If you haven't had lunch yet, please go ahead and have lunch. And I hope that everything goes well for everyone for the rest of the day. Allergy season is coming up. You know what? Apologies for my little stuffy voice today. Allergies is not a joke. It is a very, very difficult thing to deal with. And I'm with you all because I have allergies too. So pollen and all that, no good. You know, a lot of sneezing and a lot of stuffy noses. But I hope that goes well for everyone. Summer is coming up. Midterms are almost ending and finals are going to be coming up soon. Good luck, everyone. I believe that everyone can do well. I hope you guys do. Remember to balance everything within your personal life and your academic and your work life. And once you kind of get that settled, I'm sure that happiness will come within that routine. All right, everyone. My name is Jeff, and this was another episode of Lean In with Jeff. Have a good day, everyone. Bye-bye.
Calacaca.
Aujourd'hui, c'est ton anniversaire. Bon anniversaire, que Dieu te bénisse.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Take One. This is your host, Juan Pablo Sá, talking to you from the CITR station at UBC Point Grey campus, located in the unceded territory of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh Nations. Thank you all so much for tuning in, and yeah, okay. A very big movie came out recently, and for those of you who tune in regularly to Take One, you know, Tuesdays, 3 to 4 p.m. here at CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. For those of you who tune in regularly, 2 weeks ago, in the episode, I talked about my 10 most anticipated movies of 2024. And, you know, just in case some of you missed it,